Hi everyone, this is Diva from Blood Hunter and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. This is where we dive into the albums and bands that made metal. I'm your host, Blake, and together we'll explore the, we're going to explore something a little, not different, but not necessarily a classic metal album, but since it's April Fool's was yesterday, me and James, my guest, James, how you doing?
Hey, Blake, doing great, man. I'm still in the April Fool's spirit, so looking forward to this one.
So we thought we would do a kind of a funnier kind of metal album, I guess you could call it. So we're going to talk about Green Jelly, or Green Jello, as they were once called. But first, I guess I didn't finish what I would usually say at the start, but make sure you visit our website, themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit, and the podcast has its own website at themetalpitpodcast.com. And you can follow us on that on Instagram at The Metal Pit Podcast and Facebook. And you can find us on YouTube at The Metal Pit 666. And as always, you can email me podcast@themetalpit.org. And maybe you'll have some comments about this album we're going to do today. So yes, we're going to do Green Jelly. And I already know the answer to this, but because I asked James if he wanted to do this podcast and he's never heard of the band before. So I guess we'll just ask you quickly. What were your first impressions when you first listened to it, since I made you do it?
Yeah, it was a blast. I played the album a couple of times through just today. And I think the thing that really struck me about it was, aside from the fact that I knew it was a parody type of thing going into it, the different varieties of styles that the album offers, it actually is musically something that touches on several different styles. And I'm sure as we get into the individual tracks, we'll be touching on some of that. But as I was going through it, I thought the musicianship is really good on this. Combine that with being able to get some laughs from the lyrical content, and he's got a pretty fun package. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we're going to do the album Serial Killer soundtrack. I guess for people that don't know, which I guess James would be one until now, but they were, I guess you could call them an American comedy rock band. They're originally named Green Jello, but the band had to change its name because the Kraft Foods company thought it was an infringement on their name, Jello, like Jello pudding that Bill Cosby used to advertise for. But now he's in jail, I believe, prison. But anyway, but so they had to change the name to Green Jelly. Now I do have the CD that says Green Jello on it, because I don't know how many were released or anything like that. I don't have that information, but I do have the, and I don't know, because I listened to this on Spotify, even though I had the CD, but I listened to it on Spotify as I was doing my thing. And the last song is Green Jelly soundtrack, or not soundtrack, Green Jelly, a theme song, sorry. But so I don't know if they had to change that, because I'm sure it was called Green Jello, or maybe it is. They do say Green Jello on this. You're on Apple, right? You get your music off Apple, I think.
Yep, that's right. Yes, sir.
And they were saying Green Jello, right, in that song?
Yes, that's right. Yep. I had to do a little bit of a double take as I was listening because of that.
Okay. And one thing I like about doing these podcasts is, especially bands that aren't Iron Maiden or Metallica or whatever, that are really popular, and I know a lot about them, but bands like this, where I listen to the album a lot, and I do the album, and the music is good, even though they say they're the worst band in the world, whatever. But there is some good music on it, and they could be real songs if they didn't have such weird, dumb, funny, stupid lyrics, but whatever, because there's some good songs, as we'll get to. But anyway, I found out some things I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that Danny Carey and Maynard James Keenan were past members of the band, and they went on to form Tool. And I never knew that before. Because I didn't know any of the band members' names in, like, Green Jelly when I first heard it or listened to it. And I did listen to their album after this called 333, but I didn't. They have five albums. One was before the Serial Killer one, which has some of the same songs on it. And I guess there's two more after it, but I haven't listened to those. So we're just going to concentrate on this one. So anyway, yes, this is called Serial Killer Soundtrack. Of course, Three Little Pigs, which we'll get to, was the first time I heard them was seeing the video for the Three Little Pigs. And if you don't know Green Jelly, Jello, just go to YouTube and there's thousands, not thousands, a lot of videos that they made. Like I said, there's one for every song on this one. I'm not sure if they did that for every album, but there's, and the videos are just, it's like gore in a way, some of it. And I guess gore has something to do. Where did I have that? I had that down here somewhere. And now I don't know where it is. I'll find that maybe. But there's something about gore. Oh, here, wait, is this it? Yeah, this is it. The lyrics to the song Obey the Cow God, which will, it's the first track, which we'll talk about in a second, but it makes some reference to Beefcake the Mighty, who is a bass player for Gore, and he taught Green Jelly how to make their latex costumes.
So, very cool.
And just so people want to know, in case you hate Green Jelly and you don't want to listen to this podcast, if you've already, I guess you probably wouldn't even start it if you know you don't want to listen to it. But we're going to finish our episode with our top, not well, our 10 favorite or 10 of our favorite comedy kind of hard rock metal songs, depending on who's on your list or whatever. So hard rock is okay, of course, if that's in there. Like, it's not on my list, but like I thought about Big Balls by AC/DC. We'll see if you have that on there or not. But there's actually a lot of songs to pick from, more than I thought there was when I first suggested it. So anyway, let's get to this album. And so the first track is Obey the Cow God, and I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first in every song, of course.
Awesome. Yeah, so this one, and I'll put a little disclaimer first. When I mention bands that the sound reminds me of, or maybe vocal styles that the sound reminds me of, I'm in no way comparing Green Jelly to some of these other folks. just about what brought to mind when I was listening to it, but for me, in terms of the pace of this one, right off the bat, I immediately got a Motorhead vibe. Now, I don't know if anyone else gets that same impression, but we also get a little bit of a gravelly vocal style that seems to be more reminiscent of what you might hear Lemmy do from time to time. And then when you hear the vocalist proclaim, "We live in a country, we can't eat meat." And also talks about how he lives in a place where there's no Burger King. No McDonald's. The fast food places are getting slammed here pretty good. But it's definitely got a little bit of a Southern flair to it, too. I don't know if that's like a harmonica or something that's playing in the background in certain sections, but every so often they sprinkle it in there. So it seems to be like a little bit of a Southern rock flair, which Motorhead certainly did a few times. And it's almost, I picture a man who is caught in a land full of vegetarians and vegans, and he is longing to be in a place where he can finally eat beets. Great opener, and it's got a really nice pace to it. It's pretty good and fast. So I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, that definitely have Motorhead influences, punk influences, which of course Motorhead had also. But yeah, it's a good song, and it's a punky song, and of course most of the stuff is going to be about the weird lyrics and the ideas of the songs. And this is of course where you've already mentioned about, I don't know what country it is, or maybe it isn't a country anymore, or there was a country somewhere in Asia where they wouldn't eat, like the cow was sacred, but I didn't look that up. But some of the lyrics in this one, he goes, "Dopey, I'm a cow and I'm going to roam through your village and I'm going to eat all your food, but you don't care because I'm a sacred cow." But just, it's just funny to read the lyrics and see "dopey, dopey." I don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. Is that a cow walking around and that's what he's thinking as he's walking? I don't know.
I got thoughts of Dopey, one of the dwarfs from Snow White, for some reason popped into my head when I was listening to.
But yeah, so that's a good opening track. And the video is just, they're like, you got to watch the videos if you haven't seen them yet. And now a lot of them are stupid. They're wearing big heads and things. And there's a big cow head, I think. Some guys wearing it. And they're standing in front of some cows sometimes. And I don't know. But it's crazy. But anyway, then we go to the Three Little Pigs, which would be their biggest. Oh, I'll say some stuff before No, I'll let you go first. You start.
Gotcha. Yeah. So Three Little Pigs, this was a pretty big hit for these guys, from what I understand. And I know this was, the album came out in 93. So it was a little bit of a transition period for heavy music. Certainly we had the glam metal days and the rise of thrash and things like that came during the 80s. And as the early 90s got going, thrash started fading into the background and it wasn't necessarily the flavor of the month anymore. And grunge really took over with bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and Soundgarden and some of those. But we also had a similar style to what we hear in this song, which is the very beginnings of nu metal. And that might be more of a dirty word for some heavy music fans now. That was a style that reigned supreme when I was starting to come into my own. So probably between 97 and about 2003 or four was when it was really at its height. So a few years ahead of the time here for this one, but I always wonder if bands are ever themselves surprised when a particular song gains such popularity. I'm sure when they're in the middle of recording it, they have no way of knowing which songs are going to really gain steam. But the song, of course, it's set to the Three Little Pigs nursery rhyme in a way, one that we've all likely heard at some point in our lives, whether it was reading on our own or maybe a teacher in elementary school or mom and dad read it to us before bedtime. But it's got that nu metal feel to it, right? It's got some rapping vocals in it that seem to be mixed in, but there's a nice heavy metal riff to back up the vocals. And then you get this "not by the hair of my chinny chin" as the vocalist shrieks that out in an intentionally high pitch as he vacillates between the characters, right? So he initially is the wolf and then he shrieks those words in the voice of playing the pig. So he goes back and forth. And this one, I don't know if many of our listeners will be familiar with this group, but it has a very Insane Clown Posse feel to it. If anyone has ever been exposed to them before, they're a rap duo from Detroit, Michigan, and they got really big in the 90s, but they also would sample rock music in some of their songs from time to time. And it's not just the rapped vocals, but also how the vocals are delivered. There's definitely a humorous tone to the voice. So if anybody's heard Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, which are the two stage names of the guys in Insane Clown Posse, they have a song called Piggy Pie, funny enough, going with the pig theme, on an album from 1997 called The Great Malenko. And it's got a ton of similarities to this tune. And who knows, since that album came out in 97, maybe it even drew some influence from this song. But it got that hard sort of rap rock, rap metal type of feel to it that stylistically might not have been out of place on some of the early Linkin Park albums as well. A really interesting track here. It's a good one.
Now, the song peaked, I guess, at number 17 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, whatever, singles. And it's also the first track ever, where did I see that, that was released as a video before the song or whatever, or at the same time as the song. Like, it wasn't like a single release and then they released a video later. It came out first. Let's see. It went to number 5 in the United Kingdom, the song. And it was, say, reached number 1 in New Zealand. I'm not sure what that means, but it stayed in New Zealand for 2 weeks. At number 1 for 2 weeks. And let's see. And there's guests. So I don't know who. There's, according to Wikipedia anyway, there's guests. First, the lead singer of, and I guess he's still in Green Jelly today, is Bill Manspeaker. I don't know if that's his real name or not. But anyway, so he's the lead vocalist usually. But they have some guest vocalists on this track. And it's, I guess it's the different pigs, but I don't know if it's in order of the pigs in the video. But anyway, Les Claypool, who, I forget what group he's in. Do you know what group he's in or was in?
Oh, man, I know the name and I cannot think of the group right off.
Not the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is it? Les Clay, I can't remember. But anyway, he's one of the voices. And Maynard Keenan, James Keenan, who, of course, went on to Tool, like I mentioned before, he was the one. And then actor Pauly Shore was also a guest of one of the pig voices. And then, I don't know who this is, but Gary Helsinger played the voice of Rambo, who, of course, was supposed to be Rambo of Sylvester Stallone's movie, Rambo. But yeah, this is the first time I ever heard Green Jelly. Jello was seeing that video, I think. And I guess like Anthrax did that. I didn't write down the years of these things, but they did their I'm the Man rap thing with Run DMC, which was funny. And so I don't know if this is inspired by that too. And this, of course, the video is, if you've seen it, it's a claymation, whatever, stop video, which was different too. And also in the video, because they're talking about one of the pigs is marijuana smoking and listening to Bob Marley, and another one's in Venice Beach, and the third one is the son of rock star Pig Nugent and whatever. But anyway, but yes, that's a classic song, and I still listen to it all the time. Like I say, the music's pretty good. It's just if people want to listen to the stuff. Now, I forgot that the next song is called Serial Killer, which I guess would be the title track. And I watched the video, but I don't think the video was the same as the song on the album. And then I forgot to go back because I was just watching the videos, making notes of the songs. And I forgot to go back and listen to this song. So I'm going to have to deal with what you got because I forgot to do that. So what'd you think of the track Serial Killer?
Yeah, so because they, in keeping with the comedy theme, when they put cereal, in this case, it's C-E-R-E-A-L, like the food. And so aside from the fact that it made me want to run out and get a bowl of Apple Jacks to enjoy while I was eating, this one does continue to show the variety of styles on the album. We get almost what I would consider a sludgy feel to the song as it starts to get going, but then it just bursts forth into an all-out thrashy type of riff. It really is something that I completely did not expect as the song first started to play. And we get a few different styles that are blended into this one. Other than sludge and thrash, we do get some punk influence in there as well, which I guess is probably something that's pervasive throughout the album, like we talked about with the Motorhead influence and that kind of thing. Now, the vocals are delivered in a pretty rapid style type of delivery in this one, which is really cool. And then the vocalist also employs some clean-ish vocals at certain points where he almost gets operatic a couple of times, which is really interesting. But there is a killer guitar solo in this song that just blazes forth while the thrash assault kicks back in as the song approaches the final minute. So you do get several different pace changes in this song. But as it's coming down the home stretch, it really kicks back into high octane, just full gear again as the solo just kind of rips. Just really good stuff. And for me, in addition to Three Little Pigs, this song is a highlight of the entire album, in my opinion.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Damn. Oh, yeah, I was watching the video, but the video on YouTube was like 6 minutes long. So I think it was some extended kind of thing. And so I didn't bother to watch the whole thing. So I think the song might have started after a couple minutes of this other stuff that was happening that I didn't really never heard before. And I can't really explain it. But anyway, yeah, I forgot to go back. But anyway, you covered it good. And I do remember it being a good song. And they mentioned some cereals and stuff. Because, of course, yes, it's spelled like a bowl of cereal, not a serial killer. But yeah, whatever. Okay. And then we go to Rock and Roll Pumpkin. And what do you think of this one?
Yes, this one, I could not wait to hear it as it came up in the track listing. And it, because in addition to straightforward heavy metal, I love groove and thrash and traditional metal and that kind of thing. But I'm also a huge fan of just a stripped down rock and roll sound. Straightforward. AC/DC, one of my top five favorite bands of all time. I love some of the more modern rock bands like Airborne and Overdrivers and Hardbone and some of those bands. So I do love rock and roll. And so as I read the song title, I know you can't always go by the song title to know exactly what it's going to sound like, but I still find myself attempting to form an impression before I actually play it. So we get a nice infectious beat as this one gets started, similar to something Phil Rudd might play from AC/DC to get the song started. And there's a tribal type of sound that seems to be playing over the drumming as it goes before the song just dives right into that straightforward rock and roll sound, which I guess makes sense as the song's title suggests. But in addition to more rock and roll. I do get more Motorhead vibes on this one. And I know that it sounds odd to divide those two things because Lemmy himself always insisted, we are not a metal band. We play rock and roll. We hear that all the time, but definitely get more Motorhead vibes on this one. So that's never a bad thing. The vocals I notice are, they're mostly shouted in this song, which is more reminiscent of what you might hear in thrash. But in a funny way, it works really well with the overall sound of the song. The vocals really do fit. And so it just shows you that this band, even though they're doing these things for comedic purposes, there is an intentionality behind what they do. And there is talent that goes into the songwriting and the delivery. And the song does settle down into a more bass-driven passage about halfway through where it seems to get a little bit calmer. But then just when you think that's the direction it's heading, it just explodes again as it heads down the home stretch. So another really good song that keeps you on your toes the whole way through.
Now, the thing about the song, there's hardly any lyrics, except they keep saying them over and over again. And he's just saying rock and roll, pumpkin, say it again. So they just keep doing that for the whole song. Now, they don't do it constantly, of course. There's a lot of music in this one, as you said. And then they end off with a line, would you pop it in our keys? I have no idea what that means. But anyway, yeah, this song could almost be an instrumental if they didn't say anything. And it would still be a pretty good song. Like, it's good groove, like you said. But yeah, they just say rock and roll pumpkin, say it again. I don't know. And they just keep saying it again.
Taking their own advice.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. Then we go to Anarchy in, well, it's Anarchy in Bedrock. I don't know if it's listed as Anarchy in the UK or whatever. But of course, it's a cover of the original song by the Sex Pistols, if I got that right. I think I do. And a few other bands who also did that. I think Anthrax did it. I think Motley Crue did a cover of Anarchy in the UK. Megadeth did, I think, too. But anyway, do you know the Flintstones, for one thing?
Yes. I grew up watching the Flintstones. And since we were talking about cereal a moment ago, I watched the show on Saturday mornings with a bowl of Apple Jacks or Cinnamon Toast Crunch in my lap.
Okay, you go ahead about Anarchy and Bedrock.
Yeah, so this one, interesting point in the title. I was listening to it on Apple Music, and it does have Anarchy in the UK listed as the title on that one. But yeah, immediately I knew because of the Sex Pistols song. I was well aware of that particular one. Seems to be a pretty widely known tune. Johnny Rotten, these guys were good about putting forth these songs about rebellion and nonconformity and things like that. So it's a somewhat of a cover song, but certainly lyrically, the lyrics have been obviously altered to include more humor. Like you talked about, there's references to the Flintstones, and even Barney Rubble himself gets a nice shout out in this one. So just a well-done track. It keeps the punk spirit alive. And it's one of those tracks that seems really impossible to not smile along to and nod your head as you're listening to it. I think stylistically, they did the song justice, and they also added their own flair in there too. So it was an enjoyable one as we're approaching the midway point of the album here.
And yeah, I grew up on the Flintstones, and like, I'll still watch the Flintstones once in a while. I'm talking the cartoon, of course, not the movies. But yeah, so there's a lot of references to he wants to destroy Mr. Slee, which is Fred Flintstone's boss. And he's talking Betty and Wilma, and they're going to have some Flint upside down rubble bubble. It says tape. I don't know in the lyrics. I don't remember. And then they're going to try some Fruity Pebbles, which I don't know if they sell those anymore, but that was a cereal. And then you have Barney Rubble or whatever. And let's see what else. And of course, you have Dabadoos in there. And then if you watch the video, there's a guy wearing a big Fred Flintstone head, guy wearing a big Barney Rubble head, maybe Betty and Wilma, I forget. And there's girls wearing these big things on their breasts. I don't really know what that's all about, but they have these things on. But it's funny. And for me, it's really like, if you've never seen the Flintstones before, you're probably not going to get the humor of the song. But for me, who watched it, and it ends off where he's yelling out just like they did on the cartoon or whatever, where he gets locked out of the house at the end of the show. But anyway, it's yeah, I love that song because yes, it's the Flintstones, one of my favorite cartoons. Okay, was there anything else in that song, because I have all the lyrics of that whole song here. But I think I already covered everything. Oh, Twitch, the thing at the start where he says Twitch, because that's from one of the episodes where somebody was singing, a jazz guy, I think, and he would say Twitch. And that's just classic. Anyway, so there we go. Now we go to Electric Harley House of Love, which sounds like a Motorhead title, maybe. Anyway, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, I had the exact same thought, Blake. And for this one, another word came to mind, and I felt like I was waiting for someone to say Barracuda, because the pace of this song, especially as the guitar strumming starts in a bit of a gallop, it reminds me of that song Barracuda by Heart. I'm not sure if that was intentional, but based on the overall vibe of the album and talked about the different influences they draw from, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if it was inspired, at least style-wise, by that particular song. But the drumming in this one really is the backbone of the song. It might not get a whole lot of attention, but we get some really solid drumming and a great bass line that really holds down the backbone of the song, which I really enjoyed. And then you get the guitars, which are pretty heavy in this song, I might add. They're down to a good bit. And you get that strumming along in a nice gallop. And so it really, I know, again, probably talked about this on past episodes, but when it comes to heavy music, when we use the word gallop, Iron Maiden tends to be one of the first bands that come to mind. But not that this song sounds like a Maiden song in any way, but it does have a gallop to it, which is really cool. Vocals, again, mostly shouted in this one, but there is some subtle melody in there for good measure. You get the sort of, I don't know how to call it, maybe gruff singing would be the right way to say it. So he's still got that gravelly, throaty type of vocal, but there is still some subtle melody in there, which is cool. And another pretty killer solo in this song as well. The guitar solos may be a bit of an underrated or overlooked part of the album just because the comedic factor is so strong. But there's a pretty killer solo in this one. And this one is another highlight of the album for me, I have to say.
Now, again, I didn't go back and listen to my CD. But so apparently in 1993, they were sued by the management of Metallica for partial use of Enter Sandman in the song. It says the bass and rhythm guitars in the solo section play a riff close to that of Enter Sandman. So they had to re-record it. So this Spotify edition might be the re-recorded. I should have went back to my CD, time constraints. But so I don't know if it's on the version I have or if it was changed even before that. But I don't know anything about if they got sued and got money or they just said, okay, we'll change it, whatever. But even in the lyrics of the song, they say, I know you think it's Metallica. If it is, my name is Ja. Would you think we'd rip it off? ? I think we did. Whatever. So they even said in the song that they ripped off Metallica. And so I don't know about what really happened there. But anyway, that's what I guess is part of the lore of the song. And yes, and this is actually apart from that part. It's actually the closest thing to a real song, I think, on this album, because it's not necessarily funny lyrics, except for that thing there, but it's just some easy thing, Motorhead style things, and chanting out Electric Harley House of Love or whatever, and it's got a good sing-along chorus thing to say there, and whatever. Okay, so now we get to something that's probably the least... Well, no, and this isn't the least metal song, but one of the least metal songs on the album, Tripping on XTC. So what do you think of this one?
Yeah, so I don't know if the XTC is a play on the word ecstasy. I would assume it probably is. So admittedly, when I first saw that those letters XTC in the title, before I listened to the song at all, I wondered if they might pattern the song after the track XTC from the 1989 Accept album Eat the Heat, which is an album that they did actually with David Reese on vocals. That was after Udo had left the band the first time to form UDO. So I wondered if that was the case, but I could not have been more wrong as the song began to play, because this one to me has a straight up old school hip hop feel to it, if I'm being honest. And then I could have maybe guessed that by looking at the word tripping in the song title. But yeah, definitely hardcore hip hop vibes going on here. Granted, they do still have the guitars playing away in the background, so we still do get some of that. And so with the presence of the guitar work, as well as the hip hop elements, it takes on maybe a Rage Against the Machine type of feel, or maybe think of other, maybe old school groups like a Run DMC or Beastie Boys, who, even though they were, had a clear hip hop element or leaning in their music, oftentimes they still would sample rock music or have guitars playing in the background, especially on those very early Beastie Boys albums. I think of License to Ill comes to mind pretty quickly. It's an there's an interesting section about halfway through the song where it really slows down. And for some reason, I don't know if you got this impression as well, Blake, but I got just a hint of a grunge feel to it as the song slowed down a little bit. And we are talking about 1993 here, so that would have been pretty much right up the alley of when grunge was taking over, certainly on the in the Pacific Northwest here in the States. And so, this track just continues to show just how much this album stylistically is all over the place in terms of musical influences and styles that it puts into play. But I think it's still a pretty well done song. I wouldn't call it one of my favorites on the album, but it's still pretty well done. I do love Rage Against the Machine. If nothing else, I was grateful that it brought those vibes to mind.
Now, when it starts out with some funky bass or whatever, which reminded me of Infectious Grooves. Now, I didn't listen to Rage Against the Machine, so that's probably why you're getting that. But I listened to Infectious Grooves, so I'm getting a little bit of that out of there. And then I did have it wrote down, Seattle Grunge, so I agreed with you, even though I didn't listen to grunge much. Alice in Chains, I guess, if you want to call that grunge, but they were more metal than some of the other ones. But yes, I picked that up too myself. And going back to the title of, because I watched the video and you probably didn't see this one, but at the start of the video, there's two, well, members of the bands. I think there were, doesn't really matter, but they were young kids or whatever. And some guy was selling them, had some ecstasy for them. And that's what the video is about, is they're tripping on ecstasy. But it's just spelled XTC, whatever. So anyway, there we go. Now we got a very important song. This one is about, is an adventurous song called The Misadventures of Shit Man. So what do you think of this one?
Yes, I tell you, I can't even read the title without laughing my tail off. So I guess they've accomplished one of the main missions of the album with the comedy there. Yeah, but really, when the vocalist proclaims, "What is that smell?" with a very almost indignant voice, you get an idea of what you're in for, I think, for this song. And even though this track contains maybe my favorite guitar line on the entire album, it does become increasingly difficult to keep a straight face when you hear poo being shouted several times by the vocalist. But then again, I don't guess you come to Green Jelly to keep a straight face, right? That's not their goal. It's obviously a parody album. But it does launch again. I get Southern rock vibes in a certain section of the song as it comes to its conclusion. Maybe something, I don't know if you're familiar with the band Blackberry Smoke. I am a person who is not particularly fond, despite being from the southeast of the United States, country music is my least favorite thing on the planet. So I can't stand country music. So I don't dabble in a ton of Southern rock because to me, some of it gets a little bit too close to a country sound. But Blackberry Smoke is one of those bands that I can actually listen to just a little bit because they have a little bit of a harder rock edge. And so that's one thing that came to mind for me, as it felt to me like it was launching into more of a Southern rock feel. But that's really only as the album is, or sorry, the song rather, is coming to its conclusion. And it's a really cool outro to the song. So yeah, with it having my favorite guitar line and possibly my favorite outro on the entire album, it really gives you a little bit of everything. I should say it's great up until the end when you hear the toilet flush. And then all that imagery comes back. It's somewhat beautiful.
Have you seen the video for this one?
I have to admit, I did not get around to catching that one.
Either. I don't know.
I can only imagine.
I watched that quickly today. I don't know if I've ever watched that video before till today, but yeah, there's some guy's got a big head with poop all around. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, yeah, and they keep saying it's poop, poop. And he's near the end, he's saying, don't give me no shit, man. Whatever. I don't know. But yes, it's a hilarious song. And then we go to, now again, this is the one, I guess, that would be the least metal compared to the other one that we just did, but I guess this is, I don't know if this is hip hoppy. This is what I got, but I don't listen to hip hop, so I don't really know that much about it. But anyway, this song is called House Me Teenage Rave, but it's hilarious. But what do you think of this one?
Yeah, you're not kidding, Blake. This is definitely the least metal song on the album. In my opinion, this is the most bizarre track on the album. And to be able to give it that label on an album like this, that's saying something, because they're going for bizarre in a lot of ways, whether it's with some of the vocal techniques, if you will, or maybe some of the lyrics themselves. Just, it's comedy all around. So to have the dubious label of most bizarre song on the album is an accomplishment in and of itself. Though we get like a techno sound that pretty much pervades the song. And that makes sense with a song being about a rave. I pictured being on a college campus for more than one reason while I was listening to this song. But I think about some of the like off-campus housing that I used to go to parties at when I was in school. And you would have some of the houses would have the lights, the main lights dimmed, and they would have some colored lights going and smoke machines and this kind of stuff to try to add to the vibes. But as the song goes along, if I'm being honest, it was a bit of an awkward experience. And even though it was awkward, or even though I was home just working on some chores, it was still awkward for me and there was nobody around me. Yeah, there's an extremely brief interlude with that has a little bit of heavy guitar playing, but it literally is just for a few seconds. But other than that, this one is just incredibly odd all the way through. Would easily be my least favorite musically on the song. And that's just because I'm not a major techno sort of dance music type of person. I'm pretty narrow in my musical taste. It's pretty much just metal and rock for the most part. If I dabble in hip hop, it's always old school hip hop, but it's still a song that's good for a few laughs. So it's all good in the end.
Yeah, it's a song you might not want to play in front of little kids or anything, especially if they're your kids or grandkids.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's more or less a sex rave too, right? And he's talking about petting the monkey. And then there's a girl who's talking, but it sounds like she has something in her mouth. We're not going to say what that might be. And then he says, put me on the wheel. And that's, I guess, a sex wheel. I don't know what the term is, but a sex wheel so we could get whipped and stuff. And if you're wearing headphones, I don't know if you're wearing headphones when you listen to it, and he's screaming and getting spun around the wheel. If you have the headphones on, you really get the effect of it. I just thought it was hilarious. But anyway, yes, the music is definitely nothing. But I think they wanted to make this song where they didn't want to take away from the music, even though they don't seem to care about the music anyway sometimes, or they don't think that they're any good at it. So they didn't want to take away from guitars and stuff with this one, because it's just this bananas kind of song. Okay, now we get the one I'm afraid to pronounce, but Flight of the Skatchakwada. I don't know how to say that. Do you know how to say that?
I do not. I was actually hoping you knew the correct pronunciation, because I was going to butcher it.
But anyway, what do you think of this song, Flight of the Something?
Yeah, to be honest, this is one of those, even though I tend to have fun trying to, like I was saying earlier, get a guess for how the song might sound based on the title, this one, I was lost. I had no idea. It looks like a song title that wouldn't necessarily be out of place on an Iron Maiden album, especially some of the more modern Maiden albums that are more progressive. And lyrically, they explore all sorts of themes, like maybe on a Final Frontier or a Book of Souls or Senjutsu, one of those albums. But it does have a pretty cool guitar part that gets the song started. And we've got some spoken word vocals that come in, and the spoken word continues for a little bit, but the song does continue to get pretty heavy and hard rocking. Not sure if it's based on any type of folktale lyrically. It makes me wonder if Skatchakwada is some sort of name for a mythical being or something like that. I have no idea. I have no verification of that.
I thought that's what it was too. So I tried to look it up, but yeah. I couldn't find anything except Green Jelly Song.
Oh, gotcha. So they've got a stranglehold on the word when you're searching.
Yeah, so it's just not showing up. And if you watch the video, which you probably didn't, but they're in the video. There's an evil snowman in the video, and I think he's making it cold. And then they have some reporter on the street saying about all the buses and schools that were canceled that day and stuff like this. And the drummer is all bundled up in a big coat, and he's playing the drums, and he's shaking because he's so cold or whatever.
So I don't know. Sounds about right.
if this evil snowman was making it cold and destroying the world by having it cold. I don't know. But if you go by the video, I guess that's what the song is about. I guess. So I guess it's not, because I did think, oh, what's this, whatever the title is. But I couldn't find anything, so I guess they just made it up. Okay, then the last song on the album is just a 2-minute song. It's the Green Jelly, Green Jello theme song. And how do you like this one?
Yeah, so we have finally come to the album closer on this one, and I wasn't sure what to think. I could have taken a guess that they might be a little bit self-deprecating lyrically in this song. But we do get a nice chugging guitar riff in this one, I will say. And as a fan of groove and a lot of mid-paced thrash, I really appreciate a good chug. Gets the head nodding along, and the vocals almost seem more spoken, more so in this one as well. The vocalist humorously talks about how the world's economic problems can be blamed on the band, which is very interesting. The speed really picks up as the song winds down, but it almost comes to a crescendo. You get the drums kicking up, and I started to get thrash vibes again for just a little bit. And then in the waning seconds of the entire album, you get to hear these gang vocals just chanting, "Green Jello sucks. Green Jello sucks." And so I thought, there's the self-deprecation that I was expecting in the album's final moments. But it's a good humorous way to end the album. It just goes to show you that you can have an appreciation for guys who don't take themselves too seriously. And because they toe the line, the musicianship is still very good. So they're not making a mockery of the music. So they can still have good musicianship, but still pick on themselves. I think sometimes heavy metal, just because of the word heavy and what heaviness implies, there's a lot of seriousness, unless you're talking about glam or something like that, where they could be a little more glorifying some of the fun parts of life. But generally, metal has a more serious tone. And so I appreciate it when bands can make fun of themselves and give us a good laugh. So a good way to end the album.
Yeah, and some of the lyric, like they keep saying Green Jello sucks, but it says, "Ain't got no talent, but that's all right. We're the worst in the land." And then Iggy and Gertie, which are two band members, they're both good names. And Maynard and Poopy, they're both insane. And yeah, and then we're the world's economic problems. You can blame it all on us, like you said. And yeah, they just jello for the future and stuff like that at the end. And they just keep saying Green Jello sucks. Yes. And yeah, but and yeah, there's a good music on that song too. And there's lots of good music on this album. Now, I'm sure it's just a gimmick because they don't want people to take them seriously. So they are saying that they're the worst band in the world or whatever, even though the music's not that bad. I like it and stuff. It's just, they're so silly and funny and weird with the lyrics that they don't want people to think they're serious too, even though whatever. So anyway, that's the album. Now I guess we can rate it. What do you want to rate this album out of 10?
Yeah, that's a great point. I would say humor wise, I'll rate it on two different scales. I'll say on the humor scale, I got to give this a 10 because it's very hard to, I haven't listened to a ton of comedy rock and metal in my time, but it kept me laughing the whole way through. So I got to give it a 10 for humor. Musically, I'm going to give it an 8. Now, I do think the music is really good. The reason why I'm docking in a couple of points is 1 point each for two of the tracks that I wasn't as crazy about. That would be Tripping on Ecstasy and House Me Teenage Rave. Those two songs, not saying they don't accomplish the humor part, but on a musical scale, yeah, I would probably give it an 8, I would say.
Yeah, I would give, overall, I would give it an 8 as well. And yeah, and like I said, they have other albums, but I haven't really listened to. I did listen to 333, which of course is a take on 666, I guess. It's half as good, I guess, as The Devil or something. I don't know. But anyway, I got one of their songs and one of the other albums on my top 10 list. But I'm going to let you go first with your top 10 comedy songs or whatever. I don't know. We'll see, because I didn't really give any kind of guide on what to do. So I guess we'll see how we both interpret comedy songs. So go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing as I was making my list. So I know there are some bands who stick to parody and that's their gimmick. And then there are some songs that are just fun songs that have humorous lyrics, even if the band themselves overall wouldn't necessarily consider themselves a parody. So you could definitely take it in a few different directions. And like you and I were talking about before we started recording, I don't necessarily have them ranked in order of like least favorite to favorite, but on my list, I've got a few bands that have two entries, but I did not put any more than two songs for one band on the list. So I tried to keep it with a little bit of variety. Ticking things off, I don't know how you could have a parody rock slash metal discussion without including Steel Panther. I have two songs from Steel Panther. Firstly would be Party Like Tomorrow Is the End of the World. And that is on their 2014 album, All You Can Eat. And the video is just them hanging out at a pool party. And the lyrics are literally what the song implies. They talk about partying as if this is your last day on earth because the world is going to end tomorrow. So it's a pretty fun song, but it's got a nice heavy riff to it. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Steel Panther, they're a more modern band. They've been around for a little bit now, but their debut album was Feel the Steel from 2009. So they've been around for, 16 years, I guess, now. So it's been a little bit, but they are more in the vein of that glam hair metal type of style, although some of their songs are certainly on the heavier side of that style. But they are purposely, lyric-wise, they're purposely glorifying the excesses of the 80s Sunset Strip, if you will, that type of music, like Motley Crue and Rat and Dokken and Poison and just that type of style. And so the lyrics are very much over the top. They're crude in some ways, but they're purposely exaggerating, or maybe in some ways it's not a complete exaggeration of some of the excesses of the rock and roll lifestyle. Just as a quick aside there, the second Steel Panther song I have on my list is called Just Like Tiger Woods from their album called Balls Out from 2011. And that song, pretty much, as you could have guessed, 2011 was just a couple of years after the scandal, I guess you could call it, involving Tiger Woods came out, where there were all sorts of messages uncovered. He was married at the time, but just other women that he was sending, shall we say, detailed messages to and things like that. It was really a tumultuous time in his life, and Steel Panther decided to take what was going on in his life and make a couple of interesting golf double entendres in the lyrics. And I felt like Steel Panther had to be on a list like this. Going forward, my third one on my list is Tribute, the song by Tenacious D. And that was probably the first song that I heard from Tenacious D. And I haven't heard a ton of their stuff, but that song is just parody all the way through, because if you pay attention to the lyrics, the singers, which is Jack Black, is one of them. You've probably seen him as an actor in a lot of movies. He even did a movie called School of Rock back in 2003, which was pretty cool. The other singer's first name is Kyle. His last name is escaping me at the moment. But
yeah.
There you go. That's it. Yes. Thank you. But yeah, Tribute is a song where they're literally singing about the greatest song in the world, but they're clear to say that the one that you're listening to at that moment is not it. So you're like, this is not the best song in the world, but it is a tribute to the best song in the world. So it's definitely, and that's a song that gets quite heavy as you get toward the latter part of the song. There's, in fact, almost reminiscent of a slight death metal growl as the solo kicks in. So it gets pretty heavy as it goes. So that's a good one. My next two songs are both from the same band and they're on the same album. So numbers 4 and 5 on my list. And the band is called The Devil Wears Prada. And it is a, I guess, metalcore kind of screamo type of band that have been around since the mid-2000s. So their debut album, which is the one that both of these songs come from, is called Dear Love, A Beautiful Discord. And it was released in 2006. So that was the year I turned 16 and my family relocated from down here in the south of the U.S. up to Long Island, New York. And I discovered the band after I moved. But the first of the songs, my number 4, is Dogs Can Grow Beards All Over. And you are not imagining that. You did hear that correctly. That is the title of the song. They just go all over the place lyrically in that song, but it is a nice, heavy song, so I really enjoy it. And number 5 on my list from that same album is a song called Swords, Dragons, and Diet Coke. I didn't know how to include, to have a list without including that song, if for no other reason than the three things that are present in that title. Swords and dragons. Okay. You think power metal, maybe, when you think of those things, and a warrior going off to battle in medieval times. And then they throw Diet Coke in there. So I'm not sure what went into the title, but that's the second of the two that I have on that album. Going into my number six, it is a song called Porta Party. It's a play on the phrase porta potty, like a porta john might use, but it's called Porta Party. And it is by a crossover thrash band called Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. So if you can picture those two phrases being put together, Texas Toast, of course, the delicious garlic bread is what I think of for Texas Toast. And then, of course, most are going to be familiar, especially if you're a fan of horror films, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And so the band just chose to put those two phrases together. That is my number six, Porta Party, from their second album that just came out last year, 2024. And the album is called Super Turbo. And again, it's crossover thrash, and the musicianship is impeccable. The music is incredibly fast all the way through. It's pretty much lightning speed from start to finish. You don't get a lot of variation in the tempo, but it's blindingly fast. The vocals are very good, very well delivered. Got a little bit of reverb on them, taking you back to the old school. And then my next one is from that same album. My number seven is Happy Kilmore. And it is from that same album, Super Turbo, from Texas Toast Chainsaw Massacre. So, of course, most people, I'm sure, are familiar, but it's named after the 1996 Adam Sandler film, Happy Gilmore, but they've called it Happy Kilmore. So they may fall under that pizza thrash category, if you've ever heard that. It's used to describe the next band I'm about to talk about as well. Going into my number eight is a song called Paranormal Janitor, and that is a song by the Mighty Municipal Waste. So that is another band that falls under the pizza thrash category. That's the phrase, at least, that I've heard. More of a crossover sound that anybody that's familiar with those guys, they've been around since, I believe, the early, at least the mid-2000s, maybe even the early 2000s, somewhere around 2003, 2005, something like that. So those guys have been around for 20 plus years now, and hard for me to believe 2005 is 20 years ago now, but they've been around for a little bit. That is on their 2022 release called Electrified Brain. Definitely a highly recommended album, by the way, just musically, if you are into thrash. That Municipal Waste album, Electrified Brain, from 2022, highly recommended if you have time to check that one out. My number nine is a song called In the Time of Job When Mammon Was a Yippie. And it's a very long song title, but if anyone is familiar, and Blake, this may be a Canadian band, 3 Inches of Blood.
Yes, I think they are, yes.
They are. Okay, good. I thought I heard that. I do have four of their albums, thoroughly enjoy them. They've got a mixture of some unclean vocals, as well as some very high, soaring, melodic vocals, reminiscent of traditional heavy metal, that are done by a guy that goes by Kim Pipes. If anyone is familiar with 3 Inches of Blood, this song, In the Time of Job When Mammon Was a Yippie, was on their 2007 release called Fire Up the Blades. So really great song and a great album there. I don't know if it was necessarily intended to be a parody song, but the lyrics are a little bit more on the humorous side, and lyrical themes more fantasy-based. You get thoughts of something like Lord of the Rings when you listen to it. So that's pretty cool. And finally, I had to throw in a song that's not metal, but it is Celtic punk rock. And it is a song called Captain Kelly's Kitchen. And it is by the Dropkick Murphys, if anyone's familiar with those guys. And that was from their 2005 album, The Warrior's Code. That album really rose to prominence because of the song I'm Shipping Up to Boston. If you have been to a Boston Red Sox baseball game or watched the movie from, I want to say, 2006 called The Departed, a movie about the mob, that song was featured on the soundtrack to that movie. That movie came out the year after the album did, but it really helped Dropkick Murphys raise to prominence. So there's another album that's 20 years old now, from 2005, but Captain Kelly's Kitchen. So it's got some, just all the sort of Celtic instruments. You get a tin whistle, you get an accordion and things like that are playing, but you also get electric guitar, you get bass, you get pounding drums and a very fast pace while the vocalist sings Turalurilati. So you get the feeling that you're on a pirate ship somewhere. So Captain Kelly's Kitchen, I think of Captain Kelly as like a peg leg pirate or something. Yeah, that rounds out my list of 10. I'll be curious to see your list, Blake, and see if we have any overlap at all.
We have none.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I don't think I've heard any. I know some of the names of the groups you mentioned. Like I know of the hair metal one. Sorry, I forget the name now.
Oh, Steel Panther.
Yeah, but I've never listened to them, but I definitely know them. But yeah, I don't think I've heard any of those songs before, which is okay, because you might not have heard any of these songs before. Probably, we'll get to it and see. First, I also had some honorable mention. So one of my honorable mentions was Tenacious D. Now, I didn't have a song necessarily, but yeah, because of course there's that movie, The Pick of Destiny, and it's a great movie. And there's probably a couple videos from that, and that's probably what that tribute's from, I'm assuming, or for or something. And of course, Spinal Tap had some videos, and of course, and I think they're making a new Spinal Tap movie, if I'm not mistaken. And let's see, one of my favorite bands, Faith No More, has a lot of songs, but I just didn't put any on here because there's too many to choose from. So I couldn't really pick out one that was necessarily funny, but they have a lot of funny kind of stuff. Canadian thrash band Annihilator had a song called Kraft Dinner on one of their albums. I can't remember which album it is, but it's about Kraft Dinner. And I just thought that's funny. And like I think I mentioned already in the podcast, AC/DC's Big Balls could have made it on my list. I have Ted Nugent's Wango Tango, which I thought was a funny song. And System of a Down, of course, could be all over the list too. But Bounce would have been one of the songs that might have made it, which is just about bouncing on a pogo stick, whatever. They're crazy. But anyway, okay, so my number 10, or I didn't put them in. I got them numbered 1 to 10, but they're not really in order of legs, just like you said. I just said to do 10, but I'm just going to start from 10 to 1, even though they're not in order. But 10 is a group called Blotto. Now, I don't even know if they were ever really a group or if they just made some funny videos. And I think they're Canadian or were Canadian, but this was back in the 80s. But they had a song called, or they had a video at least, called Metalhead. And it's about, according to the video, there's a band, they look like they're a rock band, but the singer starts turning into a heavy metal head, and the band doesn't know what's going on and why he's turning. But he says he's turning into a metal head. Something makes me lose control when I hear the guitar go, and then the guitar makes an axe on the video, playing his guitar with an axe or some fucking thing. I don't know, whatever. But he says this, and this kind of tells you how old the song is, but he goes, I've got my Harley t-shirt, my wine skin and a six pack, some homegrown for the ride back home, Van Halen on the 8-track. So that tells you how old this song is. But look up the video, Blotto, Metalhead. It's hilarious. And then we go to, and they're not really a band. They're not really a metal band. They just had that song. And I don't really think it's making fun of metal, even though some people might think it is, but I think it's a good song. And okay, my number 9 is Infectious Grooves, which is a band I really like. And they have a song called Cousin Randy, which is about some cousin that he supposedly has that goes to jail a lot or something. But there's just a part of the song. Do I still have it on here? No, it's gone. Oh, wait, I saved it. He didn't like to work, and see, he got a job cutting the heads off of chickens, and they're saying this in the song, Mike Muir there, Suicidal Tendencies, of course, too, and they're asking him why he likes that job, because he never had a job for longer than 2 days, but this one lasted a week. But it's just, he talks about when it makes you think that cutting the heads off of a chicken makes you think, and he says, is the chicken running around because he can't find his head? Is chicken running around because he's looking for his head? Or is he running around because he's mad at me for chopping off his head or whatever? But you gotta listen. It's crazy. I'm sure vegetarians probably won't like that song or whatever, animal rights groups. But that was an old song too. But anyway, that's on my list. My number 8, another Canadian band, Pile Driver. Have you ever heard the name group Pile Driver? Okay.
Yes, I sure have.
Metal Inquisition is just probably their biggest song, and that was just because there's lyrics about they're gonna cut your head off with a guillotine if you didn't listen to heavy metal and stuff like that. And it's dated too, because they mentioned in it, if you're in a disco or in a country bar, well, I guess it's still country bars, but I don't think there's any disco bars. But anyway, it's a hilarious song, and it's a good song too, so check that out. Now, Ugly Kid Joe, they have a lot of songs, too, that could have been on the list. I just put Neighbor, the one that's like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but he's a neighbor, and he's got a he's drunk and all that stuff. But anyway, I'm sure people have seen that video. My number six is Pride and Glory, which is Zakk Wylde's band after he left Ozzy. No, I think he only had two albums, or maybe he only had one. But anyway, there's a song called Hate Your Guts. And he just says on it, of course, that it's about hate. And it's not really a metal song, of course. It's more of the Southern rock thing, because that's where he's good at. But oh, I don't have that saved anymore either. But he just says, I'd rather run you over with my truck instead or whatever. But it's a funny song. Now, my next two are both stand-up comedians who like heavy metal and have ventured into playing heavy metal songs, like a couple videos. One is Jim Brewer, who I mentioned on, was that in the last episode? Yeah, the AC/DC episode that I did, if people haven't listened to it yet. But I mentioned him on that one too, because Brian Johnson guests on his album in one of the songs. But anyway, I put down his song Thrash just because there's a video for people to go check out for that one, even though I was going to, there's a song on it called Dick. He's going to be a dick tonight is the name of the song. It's about a friend who's always drunk and he's going to be a dick tonight or whatever. It's funny. It's more funny than Thrash, but the song Thrash, it's a good song. Again, the music is good. Of course, he's got real musicians with him, but he does a lot of stand-up comedy. He was on Saturday Night Live for a year at least, or maybe a couple of years, but he does a lot of stand-up comedy on Slayer fans and metal fans and things like that. So look up Jim Brewer on YouTube for, and his album is, I don't know what the album's called. I don't have his album title, sorry, but it's not a bad album. I actually like it. There's good music in it. It's just some of the, and most of the songs are funny. And also in the song Thrash, he does an impression of Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon Osbourne and stuff like that. So yeah, check out Jim Brewer if you haven't heard that. And the next one, another stand-up comedian, is Brian Posehn. And he had a couple videos. One was called Metal by Numbers, and then another one called More Metal Than You, and it's a cartoon video, but check that out. There's so many references to classic metal bands in it and stuff. Even Anvil, he's not Canadian, but he messaged Anvil and things about going to see the Anvil movie and stuff. And I think Scott Ian from Anthrax is the guest guitarist, at least in the Metal by Numbers video. I'm not sure the More Metal Than You, because it's all a cartoon. They don't show anything. But anyway, it's funny. And he also does stand-up comedy about heavy metal too. And he's been in TV shows and movies, but Just Shoot Me was one TV show that he used to be in. And he used to be on the big show. Oh, no, I forget it. Sorry, I can't remember the name, but with Penny.
Oh, Big Bang Theory?
Yes, he was on that sometime because he was like a nerdy guy that I think worked with Sheldon or something like that, or went to the bookstores. I don't know. I didn't really watch that show that much. Anyway, okay, now I got another Canadian band, number three, Anvil, which could have a bunch of songs on here too. I just put Toe Jam. It's like a heavy metal barn dance thing. I forget the name of the thing. But anyway, it's about having sex and stuff, which a lot of the songs were about. But anyway, I got Toe Jam on there. I could have put Show Me Your Tits, which is another funny one that they did. But I've talked about that in a previous episode, so I thought I wouldn't talk about that one on this one. My number two is from a group called Scatterbrain that were in the 80s. And they have a video. Most of these were like videos are the reason I didn't even know of them. It's up Anvil, but, and they had a song called Don't Call Me Dude. And so in the song, it's all about, he doesn't like when people call him dude and whatever, but it's, and again, it's still a good song. The music's good on it, but it's back in the hair metal days, but I would say it's a little heavier than hair metal, but that's when it was in the 80s. So there's lots of girls running around in the video and stuff like that. And my number one, I guess, that I have is another Green Jello song, and it's the Bear Song, which is on the 333 album. And again, it's a claymation kind of video for it, and it's just so stupid and funny, but the music's good. It's just really short. Again, punky, Motorheadish kind of type of song. But some of the lyrics are, the bear went over the mountain to see what he could see. The other side of the mountain was all that he could see. So he went back over the mountain to see what he could see. And the other side of the mountain was all that he could see. And there's stuff in there about, they do a little Yogi Bear impression in there. And there's somebody with a cabbage on their head. And the song ends with, somebody give that cabbage a haircut. I don't know. But anyway, it's a funny song. And there we go. There's my 10 funny songs. And we didn't match any, which is good.
Very cool. Lots of laughs to choose from.
But I would say mostly, yeah, check out those stand-up comedians because they do a lot of stuff on heavy metal. So it's cool and stuff. And I'm sure the people going know that's going to happen. So Brian Posehn and Jim Brewer, those are good. And yeah, I have a few Canadian groups on here, as it turns out. But I know there's lots of groups. You mentioned Steel Panther, and then there's that other group from Australia, which you also mentioned, not in your list, but that sound Airborne, because I talked about them on the last episode. I thought about them too, because they have some funny songs too, and some are dirty too and stuff like that. But yeah, there's lots out there. It is a serious thing mostly in heavy metal, but it's nice to have some groups that just have some fun with it and stuff. But and yeah, there we go. And I guess Anthrax could have put I'm the Man on here, I suppose, the Anthrax song. We could have put the Beastie Boys with that For Your Right to Party, even though they're rap, but it's got a metal kind of tinge to it. And I think there was somebody with a Slayer shirt on in that video or something like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But anyway, there we go. So if you're listening, hey, email us or comment wherever you listen to this and tell us some funny songs maybe we don't have here, or what you think of Green Jelly or Green Jello. And please rate our podcast. You can on Spotify now. You can even leave a comment if you want to, I think. I'm not sure about Apple. I know you can rate it on Apple. You might be able to leave a comment. If you go to our website, themetalpitpodcast.com, you can leave comments there. And of course, you can email me, like I said, podcast@themetalpit.org, which a few people have did, and give us some comments and album suggestions and all that stuff. And thanks, James, for being my guest for this one. And thanks for listening to something you've never listened to before.
Yo, it was a blast, Blake. I always enjoy doing these episodes and a lot of fun discovering heavy music. There's never a bad time to discover more heavy music. So I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Okay. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week.